He immediately accepted the prasadam and ate it and said that to receive prasadam of Krishna, there are no such rules. So what should Haridas Thakur do? He cannot say no, he cannot say yes. So because he is a devotee of Krishna and Krishna gives him transcendental intelligence, before we honor prasadam, we glorify it. We sing Mahaprasade Govinde, like we glorify the wonderful nature, the benefits of eating prasadam. So Haridas Thakur began to glorify prasadam. He glorified and glorified and glorified, and he could come up with so much glorification that he glorified Mahaprasadam the whole day. He glorified prasadam throughout the night. And next morning, when the sun had risen, it was time to break the fast, he ate it. So he can't stop, so he went on glorifying prasadam for 24 hours. This is the greatness of Haridas Thakur, and this is the greatness of Mahaprasadam, that you can glorify it non-stop. Oh, Haridas Thakur can glorify it non-stop, let's put it that way. So thank you very much for joining us. There's one more announcement. Where is this Prabhu? Can you please stand up? Can you please stand up? This is a wonderful devotee who lives in our temple. Prasad, Bhakta Prasad. And a few days ago, he took initiation from His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami and is now Parama Karuna Das. I just came to know 2 minutes ago and I already chastised him for it. But very, very, very nice, wonderful step. Thank you. That's very, very nice. It gives us great joy when devotees take such nice steps forward, commit themselves to serving Krishna throughout their life. So we're very... I was having a dilemma. There were two wonderful stories from Srimad Bhagavatam that I didn't know which one to share. So somehow I landed at the second one. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, where Krishna talks about the yoga, especially the Ashtanga yoga process, he talks about how from the beginning one can start and achieve the state of perfection. It's called samadhi. Samadhi, in plain English, means the consciousness is fully absorbed in Krishna, in service to Krishna, in the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, that there is absolutely not even a micron of deviation from that level of consciousness. And it's a sustained state. That is called samadhi. In Sanskrit, it is samyak rupena. That's in its completeness, in its totality. So for a person who has achieved that state, Krishna describes how they are, what is their disposition like. So I'm going to read translation from chapter 6, texts 20 through 23. In the stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of the greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So Prabhupada describes this vividly in the purport, that the stage of perfect Krishna consciousness, when one achieves that, or even during the path of achieving that, one is very happy. And the nature of that happiness is that one feels very satisfied. One also does not hanker for anything more than what he is aspiring for. The goal he is aspiring for, or the goal that he has achieved, is perfect Krishna consciousness. There is nothing else that can replace it. Even in the midst of the greatest difficulties. And in Krishna uses the word Guruna api na vichalyate. Guruna api means even though in the midst of the greatest difficulty, that person is not disturbed or his determination is not wavered. So there was a king by the name Rantideva. And he had been fasting for 48 days. Janmashtami is coming up, and we fast for about 19 hours, maybe 24, in some cases 25 or 26 hours. And somehow we manage it till midnight, and after midnight, there is only one resolute purpose. What does Krishna call that in Bhagavad? Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Resolute purpose, that is to somehow get into the prasadam line. Finding volunteers who will serve that night is quite a challenge. So Rantideva had been fasting for 48 days. No water, no food, nothing. And his body became completely emaciated. So much so that he was almost on the verge of collapsing. And his body was trembling, and the stomach was growling. And hunger, the pangs of hunger, were very, very strong. He was a very, very great devotee of Krishna, only because of such devotional strength that he can sustain it. Anyone else who tries to fast like that passes out and most likely will die. But his spiritual strength sustained his austerity. So after the 48 days, the time came for him to break his fast. And all his subjects, his guardsmen, they were all very eager that he should break his fast because they were feeling great pain seeing someone they love so much undergoing such austerity. I'll come back to tell you why he was doing it. So the time came and they laid out his plate, his family's plates as well. And they all sat down to eat. A very nice seat was laid out, the nice table, many, many, many preparations in large quantities were made for the king and his family to eat. So Rantideva sat down in front of this beautiful plate of prasadam. Prasadam is food that has been sanctified by offering it to Krishna first. And he offered a very wonderful prayer of gratitude. My dear Lord, you are so amazing, you are so grateful that through food you sustain all living entities within this material realm. And food that you have given us, we joyfully eat and maintain life and carry on with our activities. We are so grateful that you have given us something to eat. And he extended his hand towards his plate to begin eating. Everyone was happy. His servants were whisking him with yak-tail fans, and they were all happy. And suddenly there was a little skirmish at the door. The guards were trying to hold off a man coming in. So Rantideva could hear something happening at the door. So he asked the guards, "What's going on?" And the guard said, "Nothing, nothing, my lord. Just please eat, don't worry about this. This can wait." He said, "No, no, this cannot wait. What is going on? Please tell me." They said, "But there is a brahmana, a priestly person, a brahmana waiting at the door. He wants to meet you now." So the king said, "Oh, if he's a brahmana, we are the kshatriya race. We are always subordinate to the brahmanas. And our first foremost duty is to serve the brahmanas. Please, bring him in." And when the brahmana was brought in, he said, "My dear sir, how can I serve you?" "Oh king, I am very hungry. I am famished. I haven't eaten." So the king said, "Oh, you've come at a perfect time. We're just about to eat. You've come at the perfect time." So the king took all the food that was there and made it half portion and gave it to the brahmana to eat. So the brahmana ate very, very relishingly. And Rantideva stood there with his hands folded, seeing the brahmana relish the prasadam and feeling great joy. "Oh, how wonderful it is that I had this great honor of serving the brahmana something to eat." So the brahmana ate, washed his hand, left. So whatever the half that was remained, that had remained, was served out to the king. So the king sat down, was about to have his meal, and again there was something happening at the door. There was a little skirmish again. So this time the king said, "What's happening?" "Oh, don't worry, this is not a brahmana or anyone. You don't have to worry, you don't have to respect him right now. This can wait, please have your meal." "No, no, I am the king, I need to know what is happening. What is, please let me see who it is." "Oh, it's some laborer, some shudra." "It's just a laborer, my dear king. No need to rush. Just please eat." "No, no, no, he is my subject. I need to serve him. Please come in." "What is it, my dear sir? What can I do for you?" "Oh, my dear king, I haven't eaten anything. I'm starving." So the king said, "You've come at a wonderful time. You're just about to eat. Please eat." So the king divided that into half again and gave that half to the laborer. So it's described, because he is transcendentally situated, he did not distinguish one is a brahmana, another is a shudra or a laborer, because he saw the spirit soul in everyone. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunicha evashvapakecha pandita samadarshina. That a wise person who self-realized sees a very exalted brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog or a dog eater with equal vision, because he sees them all as spiritual beings. So he said, "Please eat." So the shudra ate and he left. So the king sat down. So he said, "Now I can have my meal." And as soon as he sat down to eat, guess what happened? Someone else came at the door. And now this time, the king heard some dogs barking. "Ruff, ruff." Said, "Whoa, what's going on?" "Oh, my dear king, do not worry. This for sure is not at all of any importance or urgency. Please take your meal. It is some fellow with his dogs. Just..." "No, no, no. I am the king." And king or raja, and when you say praja, the word in Sanskrit, praja, means all living entities born in the kingdom, or citizens directly, but it really means all living entities born in the kingdom. That includes animals, birds, insects. So the king is supposed to feed them and maintain them also. So he said, no, please show him in. So he showed in a man with four big dogs. And they're all growling. And he said, my dear king, I haven't eaten anything. Neither have my dogs. We're very, very hungry. The king said, you've come at the most opportune moment. And whatever food was remaining, he gave it all up to the man. So he ate, took some, he dropped some on the floor for his dogs, and the dogs gobbled up the food. As you know, they were all famished. And there was nothing left for the king or for his family. The king said, wow, what to do? This is today, this is how Krishna would like me to be. So this man with the dogs, he praised the king. You're so great. You have sacrificed your food for me. You're really very wonderful. And his very humble response was, no, I am not wonderful. Krishna is very wonderful. Krishna wanted to feed you today, and I was used as the instrument to make sure that you had your food today. I'm just an instrument. Krishna is very kind. And by this time, the king's body was trembling. He could barely stand because he was so emaciated from hunger. So what was left was a little goblet, so cup of water. So his servants urged him, my dear king, at least drink some water. He said, all right, if that's what is left, I will drink some water. He was about to drink some water. Guess what? There was someone else at the door this time. And the man from outside was shouting, I need to see the king. I need to see the king right away. So Rantideva said, all right, show him in. Yes, what can I do for you? He said, my dear king, he was a chandala. Chandala means a dog eater. In the Vedic standard, such a person is considered such an outcast and an untouchable because of the habit of eating dogs, which is very low. So he said, my dear king, I'm very thirsty. I haven't had anything to drink in days. And all the guardsmen did not want the chandala to be in the king's presence to contaminate the king. The king said, no, let him come. Please, here's a whole cup of nice, refreshing, pure water. Please drink. And he gave up his water as well. And the person drank water, was very satisfied. He thanked the king very much and he left. Now, during this time, as these different people were coming, the king, instead of becoming resentful or, hey, what's going on, he was just happy to share whatever he had, whatever food that was there with these people. And every time a person would come in, Rantideva would fold his hands and look up towards the sky and pray to Krishna, my dear Krishna, thank you so much for giving me this service. And he offers a prayer. One second. Yeah. Yeah, so the king, he offered this prayer. I do not pray to you for the 8 mystic powers of the yogis. The yogis, they perform severe penances to become perfect in mysticism, where they can become very tiny, they can levitate, they can bring things from far distances, they can read others' minds. etc. So he says, I do not pray to you for the perfections of mystic yoga, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. This is what the great philosophers and thinkers, they aspire to become free of the chain of repeated birth and death. He says, I don't even want that. I only ask that you let me stay among living beings and bear difficulties for them, so that they may be freed from all suffering. So he only wants to live to relieve others from suffering. So when he offered such prayers, he noticed that his bodily trembling had stopped. The growling in the stomach had stopped. His body that felt very weak and emaciated felt strong and energized. The pangs of hunger had vanished. He had no more hunger. He felt overjoyed. He felt completely satisfied and satiated, and there was nothing that he didn't feel like eating. He was not thirsty anymore, because Krishna sitting in the heart, looking at his wonderful nature of sacrificing for the benefit of others, was giving him such transcendental happiness that happiness superseded all other material phenomena that were happening in his body. That's the verse here. Yam labdhva chaparam lab na manyate adhikam tataha. The once having attained this transcendental bliss, the person is so joyful that these material pangs don't bother him anymore. Whether he has something to eat or not, to drink or not, sleep or not, a place to stay or not, someone said something nice to them or not, it just doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. And so suddenly, all these four personalities who had come, the Brahmana, the Shudra or the laborer, the man with the dogs, and the outcast, the dog eater, they were actually Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. They had heard about the greatness of Maharaj Rantidev, and they wanted to come personally and witness whether it is true that this person lives his life only for benefiting others. Because there are many persons who live like that. But Rantideva was a chart topper. He was to such a degree sacrificing himself for the benefit of others that the word had reached the heavenly planets. And Lord Brahma personally came down to see. Oh, really? And they were very happy to see him. And they offered him all sorts of benedictions. And he said, I don't want anything. I just want to live my life in such a way that I can offer it in service to others, to remove their suffering. So Srila Prabhupada in this pastime, oh, by the way, why was the king fasting for 48 days? The king knew, which is a karmic fact, that all of us have some karmic baggage that we carry from our previous lives. And as we go through this life, those karmic reactions that are waiting to manifest, they manifest in our lives. Either we have a windfall and we make a lot of money, or all our money goes away, or we gain physical strength, or some job opportunity, some disease, some accident, some insult, something or the life is filled with these things every day, and these are all nothing but the fructification of our previous karma, one after the other. So there's no one to blame. Our karma is happening for us. There's no one to blame. Things are manifesting in this life. This is how a devotee sees it. So the king realized that all of his subjects, and himself included, have previous life karmas. And those karmas, they bring about what we call suffering in this world. suffering unto ourselves. So he fasted as a token of regret and penance to absolve his subjects from those sins. This is a very big step, to do something for the benefit of others. In fact, most people don't do anything for their own benefit. Right? In Kali Yuga, one of the greatest characteristics of this modern age is people are called Manda. Manda is not a eulogy. It's not a word of praise. It's a slap, if you will. Manda means lazy. The great sages say that the Kali Yuga persons are very lazy. Meaning, if you look around, some people are not lazy. They wake up early in the morning, they go to work. There's a famous bumper sticker. I-O, therefore to work I go. People are in debt, so they have to work. They wake up early, they commute long distances, sitting in traffic, or they work out very much, they run for many hours, they work out in the gym, they're busy. I'd say, they're not lazy. But lazy in this sense, that the people of Kali Yuga are very lazy about their actual benefit, their spiritual development. And it is described that if one doesn't work for their spiritual benefit, then it is like dreaming. If you wake up in the morning and tell someone, you know, I had such a wonderful dream, I became the king of India. I love this dream. I'm going to sleep tonight and dream again. What value does dream have? Nothing. So working very hard for the body or on the physical plane is like dreaming nice things. Because the real fact of life is to awaken the spiritual nature that is lying dormant within all of us. So a person who doesn't work for that, the great sages say, such a person is very lazy. Manda. So the king, he wanted to benefit his subjects. So it's very great when a person does something that is spiritually beneficial for himself, for herself. It's very great. Everyone should stand up and applaud. In fact, the demigods do that. It's even greater to spiritually benefit someone else. And that it's called compassion. That doesn't awaken unless one understands the seriousness of the dearth of spiritual knowledge in this very, very fast progressing material world. There is a severe hunger and thirst for real spiritual knowledge. And so the devotees of Krishna, we are, as aspiring devotees of Krishna, we are mandated to follow along in our own lives the principle the emblem of the kind of life our predecessor teachers have led, like Srila Prabhupada. In fact, it behooves us, for having been the recipients of such extraordinary mercy by Srila Prabhupada, it behooves us to do something, even if it is very minuscule. That quantity doesn't matter. The spirit matters. It behooves us to extend ourselves, even if it is a little bit, simply for the benefit of someone else, even if it is one person. Even if it is for a day, to do something genuinely selfless for the benefit of someone else. This is what attracts Krishna's attention. That merciful, compassionate gesture. And Krishna empowers us to expand that more and more and more. So we don't have to wait for it to happen. We have to ask ourselves and reach out to whatever degree we can. It doesn't have to be big at all. That's not the point. It's the principle that matters. And we have great examples. We have great examples in our wonderful lineage. Prabhupada quotes the example of Vasudeva Datta. Of course, we cannot follow Vasudeva Datta. In fact, there's a little fine print. Vasudeva Datta was a very, very great devotee, but had a particular disease such that he had sores all over his body. And there were these tiny worms, they're called maggots, I think. And they would eat away. They live on another person's flesh. And they used to eat away on his flesh. And every time a maggot would fall off from his body, he would pick it up and place it back in that flesh to let it eat him. Because he said, that's how they're surviving. And if my body is what's being used in for their survival, so be it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very, very pleased. He asked him, Vasudeva, what can I do for you? He says, my dear Lord, I hear this entire universe is suffering due to the material miseries of body and mind. Can you please deliver them all? Can you take them all back to the kingdom of God? I will stay here. That's okay. You take all of them. Let all of their karmic reactions be given to me and they be relieved of it. Let them all go back to Godhead. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, they will do so. They will all go away. Don't worry. They will all return to the kingdom of God, to Vaikuntha, just because of your mercy upon them. Another example is of Prahlad Maharaj. Although a young boy, 5 years old, was a devotee of Krishna, and his father was the greatest atheist. And he didn't like his son being a devotee. So he tried in many, many ways to murder his own son, 5-year-old boy, whom he had named Prahlad. Prahlad in Sanskrit means very, very, very dear. Very, very lovable. Although he named his son very lovable, he wanted to kill his son. Finally, Lord Narsingadev appears and takes care of the father, and he asks him, what benediction would you like? He says, there are many great persons who are sages, and they are only interested in their emancipation. So they retreat unto the Himalayas for their own emancipation. But I am not like that. I want to stay here, and he says, to help the fools and rascals, Prabhupada writes. Because I understand that when they are bereft of Krishna consciousness, they have nothing in their lives. They are suffering. And I want to be your instrument to relieve that suffering, my dear Lord. I don't ask for anything else. And our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, at the ripe age of 70, crossed the seven seas with heart attacks, 2 heart attacks, nothing. What was the only goal? Of benefiting others. Because that's the real need. The need for a relationship with God. And such great personalities have set such a wonderful example for us, so we can do a little for someone and receive unlimited mercy of Krishna. So Rantideva is a very, very wonderful example, among other examples as well. Thank you for paying attention. Is there any question, anything you'd like to add? So I'd like to end, Acharya Nista, while you're getting your mic, I'd like to end with, so in that spirit, we go out and form this Rath Yatra festival. the Janmashtami festival, etc. This is for giving others an opportunity. And our dear friend, Gauramani Prabhu, in his own wonderful way, participates in the Bud Billiken parade year after year after year, determined, just so that people who have no idea of Krishna consciousness, the holy name of Krishna, get some opportunity to see the devotees, to hear Krishna's name. So we would like to support him and invite all of you to come support us in this small endeavor, support him as we do. Many, many such things. The whole idea of being part of what we call a Bhakti Vriksha program is a little gathering that persons get together on one day of the week to study systematically Srila Prabhupada's teachings. That itself is also an act of extending unto others. So to all those Bhakti Vriksha facilitators, we're very, very grateful. However we are doing this, I'm not listing all the different examples. Last night we were talking about being a parent. Being a Krishna conscious parent is not easy. And it takes great responsibility to nurture and care for those little children, living entities. The responsibility of making sure that they get full opportunity for Krishna consciousness, to those parents as well. Our heartiest congratulations. Yes, Acharya Nishtha, you have a question? Okay, no problem. Mike's now, I'll repeat the question.
Very intimate, or maybe one should not have love for them, but we also have a feeling that we should have compassion for everyone. So love for everyone sounds nice, but how do we actually, as aspiring Vaishnavas, live that or cultivate that? Is there any risk in developing a deep affection for someone who's maybe atheistic or something?
No. Okay. Well, as we're talking of Rantideva here, Prahlad Maharaj had deep affection for his atheist father. At our level of young Krishna consciousness, Jai Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Jagannath Balde Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai, Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. At our young fledgling Krishna consciousness stage, we may not develop love because it's still a far-fetched idea. But the principle still is true, that to go beyond thinking only about ourselves, our benefit, our convenience, to think about someone else's benefit, convenience, happiness. It may be the little sacrifice, the little small sacrifices, and we may only have capacity for that, but even that is fantastic. So even maybe one may be an atheist. So for an atheist, it's not that we shun, we may not enter a debate, but we can always serve by giving Mahaprasadam, like that. But benefiting another person is the principle. Now there are many persons, or you said many groups, who also talk about benefiting, but the real benefit is for the soul. And the soul is only happy when it is in its true nature. Like a fish is only happy when it's in water. So the soul is only happy when it's in its element, in its nature, and that is in communion with God. So our mandate is to facilitate that. This way, that way, whichever way. Yena kena api. Okay, so we invite all of you to heartily participate in Kishore Kishori's 40th anniversary celebrations in Janmashtami. Kishore Kishori, or this Hare Krishna temple, was the first temple in all of Chicagoland by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada in 1973. And so this year is the 40th anniversary. We are planning for a grand Janmashtami festival. So you're all invited to begin preparing. Although Kishore Kishori are 40, they're always 16. They're always 16. When they will be 100, they will still be 16. Because they are Navayavana, ever youthful. And so please come and join us.